What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the Fast and Flow podcast. I'm your host, Fast and Flow, otherwise known as Catherine Kelly, your running bestie, a New York City-based long-distance runner and certified personal trainer. And I also work in corporate strategy at a fitness company, so we are all things fitness over here. Today, we're going to have just a mini episode, but it's a topic that I've just been thinking about for the past couple days. First, a little life update, though. I'm still in Ohio. It's Monday morning right now at 10 a.m. I'm in Ohio because we were here over the weekend for a baby shower, but we had to end up switching our flight on the way here to a different airline, so we missed our flight, and that prompted the airline to cancel our entire trip. So when we went to check in for our flight back yesterday, there was no flight. And the flights were insanely expensive. There were layovers, which is crazy because we're just going from Columbus to New York, which is no longer than an hour and 20 minutes. And so Brett actually ended up leaving early this morning so he could get to work, but he had to lay over in Detroit. And he had to leave at 4:30 in the morning, and I said, I'm not doing that. So I'm still here. I'm leaving in the middle of the day because for me, it doesn't really matter. Like, I would have still been having to fly in the middle of the day even if I went with Brett because of the layover. So I understand he was trying to get to the office, and I was like, I support you in that endeavor. Wake up at 4:30 and go, but I will be sleeping until 8, getting my 8 hours, and I will go in the middle of the day because regardless, I would have still been out of pocket for like 90 minutes in the middle of the day. Hopefully the Wi-Fi works on the plane, but you never know. Anyway, it's not that big of a deal. And I'm glad we have a flight home, even though it was kind of annoying because we ended up paying for 2 full trips. But whatever, that was kind of dumb on our part, and it is what it is. So noted for next time. But the real thing I wanted to say is my obsession this week has been F45. If you guys don't know what it is a strength and HIIT training class, essentially. It's 45 minutes long. It stands for functional 45. So all of the movements are like full body functional movements, which I really like about it because I think it's super efficient, and that's why they're able to get you a really good workout in 45 minutes. You're actually probably only working out for 40 minutes because 5 minutes is like explaining what's going on and then like stretching. So you're probably doing the workout for 40 minutes, but you're moving from one station to the next very, very quickly. I did a session on Friday, which was a hybrid session. So it was like cardio plus strength, a little bit more of like a HIIT style. And then I also went on Sunday, which was heavy resistance training. It was only strength. And I really enjoyed both of them. So from what I've gathered, it sounds like Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays are strength only. Mondays and Wednesdays are cardio. And then Fridays and Saturdays are combo. So I'm probably going to end up trying out for sure all of the days that are strength and combo. I don't think I'll probably go on the cardio days just because Lord knows I don't need any more cardio. I kind of already have that covered. But I just wanted to take you guys through my updated training plan for the off season because I'm really going to be prioritizing strength training. And if you follow me on social media, you've probably kind of already seen a little snippet of the split that I'm going to be going for the next 2 months. So basically there's about 2 months, November and December, until I start training for the United Airlines half, which is mid-March. I'll have to start training for that right after New Year's. And until then, what I'm going to be doing is instead of doing running workouts on like Tuesdays and Thursdays and long runs on Saturdays, I'm going to switch all of those to F45 or another workout class or just a strength-based workout is basically the point. So instead of doing speed work, I'm going to do strength work, but I'm still going to maintain my easy runs on like Mondays and Wednesdays, probably do one longer run over the weekend, and then just keep up my cardio throughout the week. Like, for these F45 classes, you pretty much just jump right into the workout. So I will typically just try to go for like 20, 30 minutes and like jog beforehand, which, you know, obviously we'll get in a little bit of cardio on those days as well. I also just really thrive off of cardio. Like, I do like lifting for sure, but I don't get that same like satisfaction. I think I really like adding in just like even 20, 30 minutes of cardio onto the workout. I think just feels really good in my body. It's what my body prefers. I know some people hate cardio and only do strength, and honestly, more power to you. But I have historically branded myself as somebody who doesn't really like strength training. I am obviously very endurance focused. That's what my body feels the best doing. That's why I train a lot for the marathon distance. I am going to be doing a 5K and a 10K in the spring in addition to 2 half marathons. And then I'm going to be doing 2 full marathons in the fall. So I'm going to be racing Chicago, and then I'm going to be pacing my friend for New York. So I won't be like all out racing New York next year. It's not really safe or healthy, in my opinion, to do 2 marathons within 4 weeks of each other and try to go all out on both of those. Like, I can even tell we're over a week out from the marathon now, and my body just still definitely feels tired. Like, I feel good, but my body just genuinely doesn't have that same like oomph. Like if I went to do a speed workout right now, I think I would definitely really be feeling it. I also feel a little bit under the weather. Like I wouldn't characterize myself as sick, but ever since the marathon, I've just been a little bit under the weather, like kind of just not completely well, which tends to happen to me after I do a really hard effort, which not really a half marathon, but every time I've run a marathon for like the couple weeks after, I genuinely do feel like I have a little bit of a cold. That's how I feel right now. It's also like turning into the fall and winter, so sometimes I just get a cold anyway at this time, but I've been monitoring my body, seeing how I'm feeling. My spirits are high. I really feel like I've tackled it correctly this off season. In previous off seasons from running, so like post-marathon, I'll get very depressed and I'll just want to get back to running and training full capacity. But right now I'm really, really enjoying running as I please, reintroducing myself to running slowly. And genuinely, I do like running. It makes me feel good. It gets me outside. It gets those endorphins pumping. And so I just do like running, but just, you know, not putting too much pressure on myself and being able to go for easy runs only during this time is super nice. I do want to obviously maintain my aerobic base of fitness. So when I do hop into a training cycle in January, I'm not starting from square one because I do have some really big goals for next year. And I really want to get my half marathon time way down and my marathon time way down. So I don't really have the luxury of completely stopping. And I know there are different opinions on this. Like some people will take months off of running and not run at all. Some people only take 2 weeks off and then go straight back into training. I'm doing a little bit of a hybrid where I took how many days off? 5 full days off of running. And then right now I'm just easing back and doing easy runs and walking a lot and biking. And then I'm going to give myself basically 2 months of being able to do that. So instead of like just taking 2 weeks fully off, I'm taking 2 months, letting myself do whatever type of running I want, whatever type of endurance I want, but changing my focus to the strength training. And that actually gives me a lot of freedom because previously during marathon training, I was always afraid to lift heavy because I didn't want to be sore. And I lifted heavier when I was younger. Like when I was in high school, I had a strength and conditioning coach and would get super in shape for soccer and lacrosse and track during the winter. And I definitely like really prioritized that. Not to the extent that I'm prioritizing it now. I just have a lot more knowledge, but I definitely lifted like 2 times a week during high school, probably like my sophomore, junior and senior year, got really into it. And I had a coach and I think that made a huge difference. Like I went every week to a location and I had a strength and conditioning coach and we worked together for an hour twice a week. And it was just such a good relationship that I had with my coach as well. So I really enjoyed that. And then during college, I pretty much only ran, which definitely wasn't healthy. Like my muscles were super atrophied. I thought that was great at the time because I was like, oh, I'm so skinny. I'm so thin. But yeah, it's because I lost a lot of muscle. And I think now I'm sure you guys have also seen, I've posted that I'm really trying to do some body recomposition. So like losing some body fat and gaining muscle mass. And I just have so much knowledge on this now to the point where like weight on the scale is not really what matters to me. And thankfully I'm at a point where I can like weigh myself and just think nothing of it. Like, and I've gained a lot of weight since college and since marathon training for sure. And a lot of that is muscle because I'm definitely leaner than I've been in historical years. Like I'm probably around the average of what I've been throughout my lifetime, but there have been times where I have had more body fat just from like looking at myself, I can tell, but I've weighed a lot less and now I weigh a lot more, but I have less body fat. And so that's kind of the direction I want to trend in. I got a DEXA scan the other day or a couple weeks ago at this point, which is really, really cool. It shows you the breakdown of body fat and muscle mass in all the different areas of your body. So you can see like in your torso, in your arms, in your legs, like what the split between lean muscle and body fat is. And I'm at a point where I just think that's really interesting and I'm really interested in body recomposition. It's like a fun challenge for me during the off season to be able to lift heavy, put on muscle mass, eat a lot of protein, and also drop my body fat. Like that's something I'm after and it's really intriguing and it's like a fun challenge to me. there have definitely been times in my life where I would never attempt to do this because doing anything related to how my body looked would have been so toxic for me. And it took years and years to work through that. So definitely if you are in a place like that, I wouldn't suggest going after aesthetic goals, but I am. And so I want to share it because I think a lot of people have aesthetic goals, and I don't think aesthetic goals are inherently a bad thing. Like, I think it's human nature. When we look good, we feel good, you know, whatever that is for us, like whatever looking good is for us, when we look good to ourselves, we feel good in our body. And that's just the straight truth. And running doesn't get you in shape, like in the traditional sense. Like, cardiovascularly, I had never been as fit as I was when I ran the marathon last week. That was the fittest cardiovascular shape I've ever been in. But like muscle definition wise, definitely not. Like, I always say this to my parents because when we talk about endurance running, we're like, it's so crazy because you'll see crazy endurance athletes like marathon runners, ultra marathon runners, triathlons, Ironmans. And you could look at that person, they could be the best of the best, and you wouldn't be able to tell because it's not like they have like super defined muscles or they're just like, there's so many endurance runners that just look like normal people, you know, because it doesn't get you in like quote unquote shape in the sense that like you have like a lot of muscle definition. And you have to lift weights for that, really. I mean, some people genetically just have a lot of muscle definition. I thankfully do have a lot of muscle definition in my legs genetically. So my upper body and core are something that I'm really focusing on. Just in terms of aesthetics for my lower body, definitely focusing on lifting heavy just for performance reasons. Like, I want my hamstrings, my glutes, my hips, my calves, my feet, everything to be really, really strong. So that when I go into my next training block, I'm even stronger and coming from I want to feel powerful. I want to feel strong. I want to feel solid, you know, and it's a really, really good feeling. And my hope is that because I'm going to be doing the strength training in the off season, that when I go into the next training block, my body's already going to be used to it. So I'll be able to maintain doing the strength training twice a week. I would love to maintain going to F45 twice a week. That would be fantastic. But anyway, yeah, I'm really excited to show you guys that journey of just dropping my body fat and gaining lean muscle mass. And I'll obviously be taking videos along the way. This is kind of just like, I have like on my TikTok and my Instagram, a little series. It's like my season of strength. That's what I'm calling it. And it's 50 days where I'm focusing on doing 3 strength workouts per week, like 45 minutes a week. For each workout. So I'm just going to be going to F45 for those predominantly, and then eating 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight per day. I kind of will just keep a tally in my head. I don't enter the food I eat into an app. That seems just like overly burdensome to me, and I'm not going to do that. But I just kind of know how much protein is in different types of foods, and I know what foods are high in protein and what high protein foods are just easy and make me feel good. And I'll definitely be sharing that too, because I'm really lazy when it comes to cooking. I don't spend a lot of time in the kitchen just because I prioritize my time elsewhere, and that's just the truth right now. But there are a lot of high protein, like easy meals and snacks that I make, so I'll definitely be sharing a lot of those, because getting 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight per day is for sure intensive. Like, you have to be very on top of that to make sure that you're getting that done. And for the past 3 days, honestly, at the start, like, I've been traveling, I've been in Ohio, and I haven't hit that, but I've done little things to get me as close as possible. And this is not about like being perfect. This is just about like the average over the course of the next 50 days. That's like the intention that I have and the direction I'm moving in. And then the other piece to losing body fat is being in a slight caloric deficit. Again, for me, I don't track anything. And when I say slight, I mean so slight, like 100 to 200 calories a day. Pretty much like you wouldn't even notice this at all. But for me, it's just kind of making small tweaks to just be more intentional about, like, I'm so prone to just eat a pint of ice cream or eat an entire family size bag of chips, which is great during marathon training. Like, get those carbohydrates and get that sugar in. Like, we love that, but I just have to be conscious, like, that's not the phase I'm in right now. And so it's really just for me being more mindful about what I'm eating. Or, you know, if I'm hungry, I was hungry the other night at 10 p.m. so I just made second dinner instead of snacking on chips, because I was like, I might as well get more like high quality nutrients and protein in rather than just like eating something random. And so that's just what it means for me. I have a huge sweet tooth. I will never stop eating dessert every day. It makes me so happy. So it's just about being balanced for me, doing things in a sustainable way and not like yo-yo dieting, because I feel like when I was younger, I used to just be like, okay, well, I just want to drop 10 pounds this month. But it's like, what do you think you're going to lose when you do that? You're going to lose predominantly muscle. And that is not what I want to do. And the beautiful thing about having the DEXA scan results is now I can see how many pounds of muscle I have in my body and how many pounds of fat I have in my body. So to do this successfully, I'll be able to test again in another 2 to 3 months and make sure that the pounds of muscle either was maintained or increased and the pounds of fat went down. It'll be very, very obvious if I achieved my goal or not. I also think probably just by looking at myself, I'll be able to tell, but I really am somebody who's super scientific and mathematical, and I'd like having numbers. I know that doesn't work for everyone. And again, it didn't work for me in previous times in my life, but it's something that I'm really interested in right now. And I'm interested in sharing it because, again, I think a lot of people have this goal to feel really good, feel confident, maybe lose some body fat, maybe gain some muscle, but they don't know how to do it in a healthy way. And then they will do it for a week or two and fall off of it. And that's not what we want. Like, we want adherence to the program. Like, the best workout is the one that gets done. That's literally one of the tenets of my company. Like, I work for a fitness company, and one of our like 5 tenets is the best workout is the one that gets done. So how do we help people get it done? You know? And I love that mindset. But something else I wanted to talk about, like related to strength training, is the other day I posted a TikTok, and it was a side-by-side swipe of me at the New York City Marathon Expo in 2016 when I first ran it. I ran in time of 5 hours and 2 minutes. I was severely under fueling. Like, I honestly would probably characterize myself as anorexic or orthorexic. Like, I had lost so much weight. I was my muscles were completely atrophied. My legs were so tiny. I just remember thinking, oh my God, this is so great. Like, the jeans that I can fit into, my legs are so tiny. And all throughout my entire college, I had such a toxic relationship with food and with my body and just wanted to be as small as possible. And like, there were times where I was probably 100. And I remember getting home back from Madrid when I studied abroad, and I honestly had a really hard time. Like, I liked studying abroad, but I had a really hard time like being away from my family and feeling alone. And I feel like I just turned all my focus to like, I can just control my food and I'll just get like really thin, because then I'll look really good and I'll be really happy. Like, that was my mindset. And I remember coming home and I weighed 122 pounds. And like, right now I weigh 140 pounds. So that was like my junior year of college to now I'm 26. That's like 18 pounds, but I genuinely look so much better right now, which is crazy. I looked so sickly. I looked so bad. I felt so bad physically, mentally. I had no energy. I constantly was lightheaded. Like, I was constantly thinking about food and like how I could eat the least. And it was so bad. Like, I want to go back and give myself a hug. But the point of all this is I was looking at these two photos side by side, me at the New York City Marathon Expo in 2016 and then me at the New York City Marathon Expo in 2023. And one of the huge differences was you could see like my legs in 2016 were so thin. I was wearing leggings and my legs just looked so thin. And I was wearing biker shorts in 2023, which was, you know, a week ago. And I kind of had my leg like posed out, like it was pointed. And you could just see the muscles in my legs, like specifically in my quads, that muscle that kind of comes out right above your knee. And it was just popping out. And I remember looking at that picture thinking, damn, I look so good. And I even got comments on it like, holy shit, girl, those legs, like, as in like a compliment. But I took it as a compliment. But I can tell you, even a couple years ago, I would have been like, oh my God, like, that's so bad. I need my legs to be smaller. And it's funny because my legs were never something that I thought about when I was younger. But then as I started to get stronger and stronger, and I heard other girls around me talking about like how they wanted to lose like inner thigh fat and how they wanted their legs to be thinner, and like, it started to get into my head. Like, after some time, like at first I didn't really care. And then after some time, it just kind of beats you down and gets into your head. And I really started hating my legs, but it was this juxtaposition, like this cognitive dissonance that I had. It's like, on one hand, I wanted to be as strong and as fast as possible. But on the other hand, I wanted to be I wanted my legs to be really skinny and really thin. And I'm like, those two things are like counter opposite to each other. Like, and it was something that took me a while to get over, because I do want to strength train and I want to strength train heavy. But for a while I was like, well, that means my legs are going to get even bigger. And it was a lot for me to work through with having to be okay with that. But I saw my legs in that photo the other day and I thought they looked so good. And then the other day I was walking in biker shorts. I was walking back from my run, just like looking down at my legs thinking, wow, like my legs look so good. And there was a couple TikToks that I posted where I thought my legs looked so good. And I just think that fact is so crazy, because it's not like my legs look different than they did a few months ago. They look the same. They look very similar, at least. They look very similar to how they did a year ago, 2 years ago. But I genuinely think they look so good now because my mindset about it has shifted, which is just crazy to think. Like, the way that you view yourself can change because your mindset changes. And that's why I think, you know, girls and all people, and myself included, like, when you struggle with an eating disorder or body dysmorphia, what you are looking in the mirror and seeing, and what you are looking down at your body and seeing, is not the same as what you actually look like and what other people think you look like. It's what you look like in your mind. And it's so crazy. Like, this was just the biggest testament to me. Like, me just going from thinking, oh my gosh, I don't like my legs, they're so big, to thinking I have the best legs ever, they look so good. It was just a mindset shift. Like, I didn't physically change the way I looked. And so I just think that's amazing. And I think it gives me hope, and I hope it gives you hope, that just kind of, I want to keep opening up more about this, because I think it's a touchy subject to talk about. But, and so people steer away from it because they don't want to, you know, quote unquote, trigger people, or they don't want to, you know, make people feel uncomfortable or give people bad habits that they didn't have before. And I agree with all of that. But on the other hand, I think, I wish there were podcasts like this that were coming out when I was in the depths of hell with, like, body dysmorphia and eating disorders, and just so bad, and felt so alone, and felt like it could never be better. Like, I genuinely thought that I would always just be thinking about how little I could eat, how skinny I could be. I would never be enjoying family holidays because there was, like, too much food and dessert around, and I would feel guilty and then feel like I had to work out afterwards. Like, trust me, I've been through it all, and I will continue to be more open about this. But I just feel so proud of myself where I am now. I feel so happy. I feel so joyful. I feel so strong. And, like, I genuinely feel like I'm getting the most out of life, and it's so fucking amazing. Like, and anyone can have that. Like, if you put your mind to getting better, and if you genuinely want to get better, and you reach out for help, and you seek out podcasts and books and things that you can learn about, and you talk to people and you relate to them and you help yourself, you can get better. And it will take a little bit of time, but just know it's a mindset shift. Like, you can think you're, like, not beautiful yesterday, and then change your mindset and think you're the most beautiful person in the world today. And nothing has to change with your physical appearance. It's all in your mindset. And I think that's, like, a really freeing feeling. So anyway, I do have to take a call right now, but I just wanted to get this off my chest. It was kind of a little bit of a brain dump, a little bit of, like, talking about body image, talking about my goals for the winter, talking about strength training, but just, like, all the vibes. It's beautiful outside today. I hope everyone has a great day. I hope you get outside, get for a walk. I'm just going for a walk today, no run. I'm still trying to take it easy coming back from my marathon. I do feel really good, genuinely, but I do know that it takes your body a long time to repair itself after a marathon and a really hard effort like that. So just being careful, and just soaking up the time that I have to not have to run. So it's great. Not that I ever have to run. I always get to run, and it's, like, the biggest blessing in life. Like, I never, ever, ever take a single run for granted. And I know probably inevitably there will be times that I can't run for one reason or another. And so I kind of, like, preempt that by just enjoying every run I can while I can. So, and yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I hope everyone has a great week. I love you guys so much, and I will talk to you in the next one. Bye.